It's hard to believe, but the Sphere has been hosting concerts and movies for about 8 months now. Yet it only featured its second musical act ever last weekend, the jam band Phish. And many wondered, how would Phish live up to the musical and visual precedent set by U2, the Sphere's resident performer from September to March? Here to talk about that is State of Nevada producer and longtime entertainment journalist Mike Privat, who caught the first Phish show last Thursday. Mike, welcome back.
Hey there.
First, Mike, you know, the Associated Press had a big story on Phish. The Sphere, the CNN had a huge story. So did the Washington Post. Why is Phish playing the Sphere such a big deal?
Well, I think the Sphere is a big deal. I think that's what it comes down to. And also, I think there was this element of who do we think would be perfect to play this venue? And you take a venue like the Sphere, which is very multi-sensory, very immersive, it's going to, you know, take you somewhere else. It's not like playing your standard arena. And then you get Phish, who plays this sort of exploratory, improvisational, very imaginative music, lends itself to all kinds of different, like, graphics and imagery and lighting, sometimes psychedelic, and you think, well, that's a perfect fit. And I think that's part of it. But I think also it's just also no one is sick of, I mean, how should I phrase this? There's still a lot of fascination about the Sphere. It's still, even before Phish was playing these dates last weekend, it's still all over my feed. People are still going to see the movie by Darren Aronofsky that's playing. And people are still speculating on who else is to come. I think that's what encapsulates it. And yeah, I saw a lot of those reports too. I've never seen Phish get as much press coverage as they have ever gotten. This is like in 40-year career, and they were all over the news.
And it's all because of the Sphere. Phish has a very, very dedicated and loyal fan base, but they're not really well known. I mean, you're not going to hear them in a top 10 song list anywhere.
No.
So I wondered if them playing there was kind of unusual, just after U2, which had mega hit after mega hit for decades.
It's not unusual because the Phish kind of flies under the radar. They are not hit makers, like you say. Their albums are not, you know, well-known or popular, but they are a touring machine. They make a lot of money. They've played the MGM Grand Garden. It's in the double digits at this point. Their shows do very well. They attract a lot of people. So from that aspect, it wasn't a surprise. Plus, they have, I think they've played the second most amount of shows at Madison Square Garden. Remember, Madison Square Garden and Sphere are essentially owned by the same company.
Hmm.
So there were talks. James Dolan, who is the head of Sphere Entertainment, he was in talks with Trey Anastasio, the frontman of this band, before the Sphere was even starting to be built. So, no, it wasn't a surprise from that end, and it certainly wasn't a surprise when Phish was, you know, sold out all these shows in, you know, a heartbeat.
Yeah, and you know, if Phish plays in the Midwest, Madison, Austin, they're going to get those dedicated fans. Mm-hmm. When they play in Las Vegas, you're getting people from around the world who might not even know who the band is. Did you think you saw a lot of people in the audience who bought tickets not really knowing what the band was?
Yeah, I mean, anecdotally, I was, you know, I'd stand in line waiting to get in the venue, and I just sort of took a minute to see who was in line with me. And, you know, I'd say about a good 60-70% of people are people I would normally see at Phish shows. And then I just noticed there was the fan base, or the people in the line, and especially in the venue, they were skewing a lot older than I was expecting. Usually a Phish crowd, you know, anywhere between college age to, like, you know, late 40s or something, but mm-hmm. It was skewing older. And I think part of it was the price of the ticket. This was a very expensive show for a Phish show. Usually they're very reasonably priced, but the production value and the Sphere and all that, maybe, and just the demand, you know, for the secondhand market. But also it was skewing a lot older. It was definitely skewing also more female than I've ever seen. Usually it's just like a ton of dudes at these shows with some women there. There was a lot more women there, a lot more like dates, wives, girlfriends. There were still people, you know, singing along. You could tell, like, a lot of people there knew the words of the songs, but there were other people there who were just kind of looking around like this was definitely their first Phish experience.
Do you think it all could also be because Phish has been around, for people who don't know, at least 30 years, and their fan base has grown old with them?
I mean, there's that too. But I mean, last time I saw them was just right after COVID, and this was definitely still a marked difference from that crowd. That crowd was a Halloween show, very young crowd. With, you know, again, some people, some of us that, you know, have been sort of listening to music for as long as like Phish has been a band, there was still that difference.
Did the people I'm sure you noticed because you're looking at everything in the crowd, not just listening to the music. Did everybody seem to like it, even those who might not have really known what Phish was all about? Did anybody walk out?
No, I didn't see anyone walk. I mean, brains were being blown the whole entire movie,
really?
The whole entire show. Like, just the looks on everyone's faces, the oohing and the aahing, every little, like, change in the graphics, if there was a certain effects being deployed, whether it was audio, whether it was sensory, touch, all of that. Like, you could tell that, like, it was – people were being entertained. People were being, you know – I don't know how to make this sound without sounding very hypey, but I was watching the crowd, and you could tell that they were having a very unique moment that they were not used to ever having before.
So talk about that. What are the kind of things you saw on the screen as Phish Bite? And let's not understate it. The screen is a huge part of the act when they're at the Sphere.
I mean, honestly, I think the screen might have stole the show. I mean, you go to a Phish show, they've got an amazing light show by their lighting engineer, Chris Carota, who's one of the best talents in the country. And, there's some paying attention to Phish, of course, and seeing what they're doing musically. But this... I mean, it was all eyes on this, on the screen, what was happening on the screen, and how things were changing on the screen. From the get go, the first number was called "Everything's Right," and you saw this like series of spiraling pillars that were on the bottom of the screen, but then you looked up and they were on the top of the screen. So you could imagine, if you will, like rectangular stalactites and stalagmites, you know, threatening to converge upon one another, and that was the first real bit of graphic magic that was happening. And it was a lot for a lot of people. It was the first time that they saw in person what the Sphere can do. And there was a huge roar when that happened. And then you had like, there was a break, and then the second set happened, and there was this song Sand, and the entire screen was filled with, I guess, what kind of looked like to me a bunch of like Alka-Seltzer bubbles. It was just the entire screen. They were moving about. It was almost like the way that like sand shifts when someone's doing sand art. And I think what made that number even more impressive was that that's when Phish really started to use the haptic technology in the seats that make the seats vibrate.
What's haptic?
It's you're sitting down in your seat, and all of a sudden you feel certain vibrations to certain things that are happening on the screen. And you've got a little, like, you've got wind effects that the screen, that I'm sorry, that the Sphere uses. They use this heavily in the movie that Darren Aronofsky made that the Sphere shows. You had that also happening too. So there's all these things that you're feeling and you're touching as you're also hearing and watching. And it was just like, just sitting there just to take it all in and experience this very all-encompassing, very immersive sensation. I mean, I had never done anything like that at any music concert ever before, and it was noted
to hundreds. What's remarkable is your show was unique from the other three shows. Each of these shows, they didn't play the same music and they didn't have the same graphics. How could they possibly do that since it's such a highly technical, involved show?
So they have been planning this since June. So it took them 8 or 9 months. They worked with a outside company called The Moment Factory. They also worked with Chris Carota, their lighting designer, because he had to design a whole new thing for this. Like, he couldn't use his regular rig for this venue. And they basically did the set list. They figured what songs were going to play each night. And keep in mind, for those of you who don't know, Phish does not repeat songs when they're in a city. There could be 3 or 4 shows, and you will not hear a repeat of a song. U2 played Where the Streets Have No Name every single night, and the whole album Wachtung Baby every night. But Phish will not repeat any songs in a stand. And so they had to create a unique visual for each song each night. So if they played 75 songs, let's say, throughout the course of the 4 nights, there was a unique visual for every single show.
Kind of sounds like you're saying Phish was better than U2.
Yeah, I actually think that the show was better. U2 did a great job, but... You know, if I went to a U2 show 2 months down the line, I would have seen pretty much the same show, maybe a couple little tweaks in the acoustic part, which, by the way, didn't have any sort of like great visual component to it. It was just footage of the band. But I know that like I would have had a completely different experience had I gone on Sunday night from what I experienced on Thursday night. And then you add that Phish used the entire facility. U2 didn't really use the haptic technology. They didn't use the wind effects. Like, it was really just what was on screen. I also don't remember them using much by way of surround sound. There were portions of that concert on Thursday night with Phish where, like, you would hear the bassist Mike Gordon, like, plugging away, and you'd hear the bass prominently from, like, your left ear, but then all of a sudden you'd hear it move across the venue, and then all of a sudden you were hearing it in your right ear, and they were, like, riffs by Trey Anastasio, the singer guitarist, that would seem to just kind of like flit around the venue, almost like how they, you know, you go to a movie like at the Dolby Auditorium at AMC and they're testing out the sound and it shows you how the sound travels in the auditorium. It was kind of the same thing.
Is that because of the way they have the speakers set up?
So the speakers, there are like over 100,000 little speakers in the Sphere, and it's laser pointed sound. So you can hear one thing at one seat, and then the seat next to you might actually hear something else. And so you're able to get a very precise, almost laser-guided sound in that venue. And that's why it sounds so perfect. And what's also great, I have to say, for all of you people who go to concerts a lot, I didn't put my earplugs in. I always put my earplugs in when I go to concerts. You don't need to do that at Sphere. Even if it feels loud, it is a certain kind of sound where you walk out of the theater after 4 hours of music and somehow my ears were not ringing. And that's also quite incredible.
Yeah, it was interesting watching some of their shows already on YouTube. Mm-hmm. This was from a fan way, way high up in the stands, and the music sounded crystal clear. He's just recording on his phone.
Oh, yeah.
And that is Mike Privat. He's a producer and a writer for Nevada Public Radio. He's a longtime entertainment journalist talking about last weekend's Phish concert at the Sphere. It was only the second musical act ever to play at the Sphere after U2. And in his estimation, though he has probably seen more Phish concerts than he could count on two hands, it was probably the better of the two.